According to probably the highest Tibetan secret society, the Dzogchen Lhasa, Yellow Hats, the point where the viral power, the power that runs the universe, hits the planet and emerges would shift from Tibet, the roof of the world, to the land of the Midnight Mountain, to Germany. That's the reason why the Tibetans always supported Germany and became the secret founders of the Third Reich. In this prophecy, as well as in the prophecy of Jesus which you will find in the chapter about the Thule Society, it is said that the new Lichtreich, realm of light, will emerge from Germany and therefore the power of the Jews will be taken away from them. Compare Matthew 21:43, where Jesus addressed the Jews, "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." It was said that a child would be born that would unite all Europe without a war, but through love. This child would be a spiritual master, similar to Jesus, and therefore would be the enemy of the Jews. This child was born on the day of Michael, the 29th of September 1812, in Karlsruhe as the son of Grand Duke Karl and his wife, Stephanie de Beauharnais, the adopted daughter of Napoleon, and therefore was the successor to the throne of the House of Baden, the German emperor. But the Illuminati Freemasons and the black nobility knew about him and had to make this child disappear. The French Grand Orient Lodge of Freemasons kidnapped the boy, but they couldn't just murder him. If they would have killed the physical body, the vehicle of this soul would simply have chosen another body, maybe 1 year later, and would have taken the throne anyway. So they had to keep this soul trapped in the body and prevent it from taking on its task. Therefore, the Freemasons kept the child somewhere in normal conditions until the age of 2½, when the child showed its first signs of memory. That's the time when the soul gets fixed within the physical body. Then the Masons had the child put in a metal cage in a cellar, without any light at all, from 2½ until 12½ years. But this wasn't enough torture yet. The cage was so small that the boy could neither stretch his legs out nor stand up, and therefore his limbs grew at angles. As you will see later, this is a typical Masonic ritual. Freemasons speak in symbols, and every form of punishment has its symbols to show the other Masons what the person has been punished for. So, in this case they chose the square, which is one of the Masonic symbols, compass and square. After 12½ years of living in this cage without any light, with just water and bread, the Freemasons thought that they had won and taught the child 40 spoken words and how to write the name Kaspar Hauser. They left the child on the streets in the middle of Nuremberg and thought that he would be absolutely lost. First Kaspar was put in prison for a few hours because he could not speak, was not used to light, had never consciously seen a human being, could not walk right, he just had a very unusual behavior. But the chief of police immediately saw that this boy was not a criminal at all, because he was a very beautiful child, and he saw that something unusual had, 72, happened to him. So Kaspar was given to a family of a friend of the chief of police, who took on Kaspar's as their own child. But then things started to happen. This child was very unusual. After half a year Kaspar could speak pretty well, and he started to draw. He was a very correct child, intensely tidy. He wore the most proper clothing, everything in his room had its proper place. He had a brilliant memory they had never seen in another child. He remembered every word that had been said by every person he had met, knew the clothing they had worn that day. But he had even more phenomena to show. Besides being such a beautiful boy, he was extremely telepathic. He knew what other people thought of, knew who the person was behind his back, 450 feet away, and what he was doing. He saw at night better than during the day, but most important was his being. He was such a gentle, loving being that everybody who met him just had to like him and became a different person. So he became known as the Miracle Child of Europe, and people from all over came to see him. Then, at the age of 18, he started to write this first biography. Imagine this, after all he could not speak nor write nor do much else at 15. Imagine a normal child being imprisoned for 12.5 years without any light. So the Grand Orient Freemasons saw that this child was too powerful and that it would take him probably just another few months to realize who he really was and that he finally would take on his title anyway. So they had one of their members, Lord Stanhope, get into Caspar Horse's life. Stanhope took him away from his adoptive parents and got him to the teacher Maya in Ansbach, who was very cruel to him. There he was taught to lie and talk about other people. But Caspar was still bothering the Illuminati, so, on the 17 took on Caspar's as their own child. But then things started to happen. This child was very unusual. After half a year Caspar could speak pretty well, and he started to draw. He was a very correct child, intensely tidy. He wore the most proper clothing, everything in his room had its proper place. He had a brilliant memory they had never seen in another child. He remembered every word that had been said by every person he had met, knew the clothing they had worn that day. But he had even more phenomena to show. Besides being such a beautiful boy, he was extremely telepathic. He knew what other people thought of, knew who the person was behind his back, 450 feet away, and what he was doing. He saw at night better than during the day, but most important was his being. He was such a gentle, loving being that everybody who met him just had to like him and became a different person. So he became known as the Miracle Child of Europe, and people from all over came to see him. Then, at the age of 18, he started to write this first biography. Imagine this, after all he could not speak nor write nor do much else at 15. Imagine a normal child being imprisoned for 12.5 years without any light. So the Grand Orient Freemasons saw that this child was too powerful and that it would take him probably just another few months to realize who he really was and that he finally would take on his title anyway. So they had one of their members, Lord Stanhope, get into Caspar Horse's life. Stanhope took him away from his adoptive parents and got him to the teacher Maya in Ansbach, who was very cruel to him. There he was taught to lie and talk about other people. But Caspar was still bothering the Illuminati, so, on the 17th of October 1829, they tried to kill him the first time in a kosher way, by cutting his throat, another type of ritual murder the Freemasons use which they have adopted from the Jews. But the assassin didn't cut the throat, he cut the forehead, probably because it was too dark. Caspar's reaction the next day was forgiveness for the assassin. He was not even angry at him. But then, on the 14th of December 1833, the Masons were successful. Caspar was stabbed with a knife 3 times, while he was walking out in the fields, and died 3 days later on the evening of the 17th. But the most important incident is that on his deathbed Caspar forgave his murderer, as Jesus on the cross had forgiven his murderers, actually the same group of people. This shows us who Caspar Horse really was. By his deeds we now know him. Caspar's task was to unite Europe in peace, to bring forth a different new world order, an order of love and respect. So, again the Illuminati had been successful with their plan, but just on the surface. The same that happened through of Jesus, happened again through the death of Caspar Horse, and it affected the whole world, even if one can't recognize it immediately. One cannot kill a spiritual master and just think that's that. Chapter 12 The Freemasons in America. After the Rosicrucians had founded their first colony in 1694 in what today is Pennsylvania, the Freemasons proceeded to establish their first lodges around 1730, with the consent of the Mother Grand Lodge in England. The founding of the United States of America is the result of the secret work by Freemasons over hundreds of years. The American War of Independence had been organized and fought by Freemasons, and the Constitution of the U.S. had been penned and signed by Freemasons. About 1/3 of the American presidents were Freemasons, and they are well represented in Congress, both in the Senate and in the United States Representatives. The Great Seal of the United States with the pyramid with the all-seeing eye on the reverse, 73, side, the phoenix, which in 1841 was replaced by the bald eagle, On the obverse and the original star-spangled banner with 13 stripes and 13 stars are all old and important Freemason symbols, which, although they had been designed on behalf of the Rothschilds and put in place by Wei I Short, in their symbolism hark back to ancient Egypt. The design of the Illuminati dollar pyramid is by Philip Rothschild, as his lover Ayn Rand divulged in her book Atlas Shrugged. After the War of Independence was over, the American Masonic Lodges segregated from the English Mother Grand Lodge and created their proper American Grand Lodge. This comprised the York Rite with 10 degrees, the 10th is a Templar degree, and the Scottish Rite with 33. Most Freemasons think that there are no degrees higher than the 33rd, but the members of that degree are later initiated into the Illuminati degrees, see number 11 of the protocols. All Grand Orient lodges in Europe were already perfectly controlled by the Bavarian Illuminati. The Freemasons of America at this time were not infected by Wei I Short's Illuminism. This only happened later. Remarks on today's situation. One has to understand that perhaps 90% of all the organized Freemasons today have not the least idea what their highest leaders who are linked to the Illuminati are actually up to. Like other organizations, the Freemasons are used as a blind to further spread the influence of the Illuminati. Lyndon LaRouche describes them as follows: outwardly, the local Freemason lodges appear as what they mostly do. They are stag groups following certain charitable aims and use a secret handshake and other secret society hocus pocus. But getting together, they think they can set themselves up as important local figures. It is good for business, good for the career. The wives, too, have thus the right social environment and perhaps get to hear the newest gossip from the neighborhood. But at the top, things are completely different. The simple lodge brother has no idea what happens at the top. GNU Solidaridad, March 10, 1993. It is also interesting to note that while German Freemasons from Prussia entered the service of America, other German Freemasons supported England and thereby made fantastic profits. Almost 30,000 soldiers from six German states, more than half from Hesse now, were loaned to the English government. In many battles there were more German than English soldiers fighting in the British Army against the Americans. In the Battle of Trenton, for instance, there were only Germans fighting. How about the financial state of the United States of America? The U.S. President Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin were inimical to the establishment of a private central bank for the control of the U.S. currency. After Franklin's death in 1790, the Rothschild agents got Alexander Hamilton appointed as Secretary of the Treasury. In 1791, he created the first National Bank of the United States, the first central bank fashioned after the Bank of England and controlled by the Rothschilds. In 1811, when the contract of the bank with the U.S. lapsed, the American economy was so destabilized that the contract was not renewed for 5 years. The Rothschilds then used their influence in the British Parliament to have England reclaim her colonies in America. This led to the 1812-1815 war. The war again put the U.S. so much in debt that they had to ask the bankers once more for loans, that is the central bank. In 1836, under President Andrew Jackson, the central bank was again disapproved, but it got the concession back in 1863 and in 1913 became the Federal Reserve Bank, today's central bank of the U.S. More details will follow. Original star-spangled banner with 13 stripes and 13 stars are all old and important Freemason symbols, which, although they had been designed on behalf of the Rothschilds and put in place by Wei I Short, in their symbolism hark back to ancient Egypt. The design of the Illuminati dollar pyramid is by Philip Rothschild, as his lover Ayn Rand divulged in her book Atlas Shrugged. After the War of Independence was over, the American Masonic Lodges segregated from the English Mother Grand Lodge and created their proper American Grand Lodge. This comprised the York Rite with 10 degrees, the 10th is a Templar degree, and the Scottish Rite with 33. Most Freemasons think that there are no degrees higher than the 33rd, but the members of that degree are later initiated into the Illuminati degrees, see number 11 of the protocols. All Grand Orient lodges in Europe were already perfectly controlled by the Bavarian Illuminati. The Freemasons of America at this time were not infected by Weishaupt's Illuminism. This only happened later. Remarks on today's situation. One has to understand that perhaps 90% of all the organized Freemasons today have not the least idea what their highest leaders who are linked to the Illuminati are actually up to. Like other organizations, the Freemasons are used as a blind to further spread the influence of the Illuminati. Lyndon LaRouche describes them as follows: outwardly, the local Freemason lodges appear as what they mostly do. They are stag groups following certain charitable aims and use a secret handshake and other secret society hocus pocus. But getting together, they think they can set themselves up as important local figures. It is good for business, good for the career. The wives, too, have thus the right social environment and perhaps get to hear the newest gossip from the neighborhood. But at the top, things are completely different. The simple lodge brother has no idea what happens at the top. GNU Solidaridad, March 10, 1993. It is also interesting to note that while German Freemasons from Prussia entered the service of America, other German Freemasons supported England and thereby made fantastic profits. Almost 30,000 soldiers from six German states, more than half from Hesse now, were loaned to the English government. In many battles, there were more German than English soldiers fighting in the British Army against the Americans. In the Battle of Trenton, for instance, there were only Germans fighting. How about the financial state of the United States of America? The U.S. President Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin were inimical to the establishment of a private central bank for the control of the U.S. currency. After Franklin's death in 1790, the Rothschild agents got Alexander Hamilton appointed as Secretary of the Treasury. In 1791, he created the first National Bank of the United States, the first central bank fashioned after the Bank of England and controlled by the Rothschilds. In 1811, when the contract of the bank with the U.S. lapsed, the American economy was so destabilized that the contract was not renewed for 5 years. The Rothschilds then used their influence in the British Parliament to have England reclaim her colonies in America. This led to the 1812 to 1815 war. The war again put the U.S. so much in debt that they had to ask the bankers once more for loans, that is the central bank. In 1836, under President Andrew Jackson, the central bank was again disapproved, but it got the concession back in 1863 and in 1913 became the Federal Reserve Bank, today's Central Bank of the U.S. More details will follow. 74. After the death of Meyer Amschel in 1812, Nathan had custody of the family's fortune. In this position, he opened the Nathan Meyer Rothschild & Sons Bank in London, with branches in Vienna, Paris and Berlin. This bank dealt in stocks and loans. It insured government, it managed and controlled other banks, railroads, steel plants, arms productions and many more. In America, it was represented by Kuhn Loeb & Co., by J.P. Morgan and CEO and by August Belmont and CEO. Nathan kept this position in the family clan until he was poisoned at a family gathering in 1836. The reason for the meeting was the marriage of his son Lionel Rothschild. Some say that Nathan was executed because he had helped himself to some of the family fortune. His son Lionel was very successful as the new boss of N.N. Rothschild and Sons and eventually became a Member of Parliament. Jacob, James, Rothschild from the Paris branch was custodian of the family fortune from 1836 to 1868. He had been next in line after Nathan. The Rothschilds, together with the Bavarian Illuminati, represented the financial power behind Zionism and later communism, and they had started and financed many revolutions and wars. For instance, Did Rothschilds finance both sides of the Civil War in the U.S. between 1861? This position. He opened the Nathan Meyer Rothschild and Sons Bank in London, with branches in Vienna, Paris and Berlin. This bank dealt in stocks and loans, it insured government, it managed and controlled other banks, railroads, steel plants, arms productions and many more. In America, it was represented by Kuhn Loeb & Co., by J.P. Morgan and CEO and by August Belmont and CEO. Nathan kept this position in the family clan until he was poisoned at a family gathering in 1836. The reason for the meeting was the marriage of his sole Lionel Rothschild. Some say that Nathan was executed because he had helped himself to some of the family fortune. His son Lionel was very successful as the new boss of N.M. Rothschild and Sons and eventually became a Member of Parliament. Jacob, James, Rothschild from the Paris branch was custodian of the family fortune from 1836 to 1868. He had been next in line after Nathan. The Rothschilds, together with the Bavarian Illuminati, represented the financial power behind Zionism and later communism, and they had started and financed many revolutions and wars. For instance, did Rothschilds finance both sides of the Civil War in the U.S. between 18,611,865? From December 1860 to May 1861, 11 states whose economy depended on slavery, the Southern states, declared they wanted to leave the Union and formed the Confederate States. In April 1861, this led to the secession war against the remaining Union states in the North. The reasons leading to this civil war were almost completely due to the actions and provocations of Rothschild agents. One of those troublemakers was George Bickley, who had founded the Knights of the Golden Circle. The House of Rothschild then had Bickley and his knights extol the disadvantages of the Union from the Confederate States. In the remaining Union states, the Rothschilds had J.P. Morgan and August Belmont praise the advantages of the Union. The London Rothschild Bank financed the North, the Paris Bank the South. A fantastic business for the Rothschilds. If you finance both sides and support the arms as well, you can but win. Here, the Americans were the only losers. Both the North and the South. Machiavelli sends his regards. It happened though that President Lincoln saw through this and refused to pay the Rothschilds' immense interests. He then asked Congress to have the greenback dollars made in order to pay the Union troops. This of course ran contrary to the plans of the Rothschilds and led to them having Lincoln murdered by their agent John Wilkes Booth on April 14, 1865. John W. Booth was later freed from jail by the Knights of the Golden Circle and spent the rest of his life quite comfortably in England, thanks to the handsome payment by Rothschild. After Lincoln's death, the greenbacks were withdrawn and later bought in at ridiculous price by the central bankers Morgan, Belmont and Rothschild. Chapter 13. Karl Marx, a branch of the Bavarian Illuminati that at the time was known as the League of the Just and had come from one of the most successful revolutionary secret groups in France, the Societas des Quatre Saisons, Society of the Four Seasons, enlisted two new members, the Jew Moses Mordechai Marx Levy, alias Karl Marx, and his friend, the industrialist Friedrich Engels, who later wrote the Communist Manifesto for them. Part of the manifesto came from their minds, but the largest section was the ideology of the 75, League of the Just and other French secret societies who took a revolutionary stance towards France. Gary Allen writes, "In actual fact, the Communist Manifesto was in circulation for many years before Marx's name was widely enough recognized to establish his authorship for this revolutionary handbook. All Karl Marx really did was to update or codify the very same revolutionary plans and principles set down 70 years earlier by Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Order of Illuminati in Bavaria. None dare call it conspiracy. The fight against capitalism could now proceed. Thanks to his intellectual prowess, Marx succeeded in changing the image of the League, which in 1847 changed its name to Communist League. This now shows clearly how the Bavarian Illuminati created in England and in America capitalist systems and, on the other hand, anti-capitalist, that is communist, systems, thus produced and to keep humanity in constant discord and therefrom confusion. Towards France, Gary Allen writes, "In actual fact, the Communist Manifesto was in circulation for many years before Marx's name was widely enough recognized to establish his authorship for this revolutionary handbook. All Karl Marx really did was to update or codify the very same revolutionary plans and principles set down 70 years earlier by Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Order of Illuminati in Bavaria. None dare call it conspiracy. The fight against capitalism could now proceed." Thanks to his intellectual prowess, Marx succeeded in changing the image of the League, which in 1847 changed its name to Communist League. This now shows clearly how the Bavarian Illuminati created in England and in America capitalist systems and, on the other hand, anti-capitalist, that is communist, systems, thus produced and to keep humanity in constant discord and therefrom confusion. Chapter 14: The Plan for a World Government. Weishaupt died in 1830 at the age of 82. In 1834, Giuseppe Mazzini assumed leadership of the Bavarian Illuminati and held this position until his death in 1872. While he was leading the Order of the Bavarian Illuminati, Mazzini corresponded with the Satanist Albert Pike, the sovereign grand commander of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, of the southern jurisdiction of the U.S. and later the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. Mazzini had named Pike leader of operations of the Bavarian Illuminati in the U.S. as Doppilluminists. The two worked together. Pike took on the theosophical aspects of their operations, Mazzini the political ones. When the Masonic lodges of the Grand Orient got into disrepute in Europe due to the revolutionary activities of Mazzini, the latter presented Pike with a plan of genius. In a letter to Pike, dated January 22, 1870, Mazzini wrote, "We must allow all of the federations to continue just as they are, with their systems, their central authorities and their diverse modes of correspondence between high grades of the same right, organized as they are at present, but we must create a super right, which will remain unknown, to which we will call those Masons of high degree whom we shall select. With regard to our brothers in Masonry, these men must be pledged to the strictest secrecy. Through this supreme right, we will govern all Freemasonry, which will become the one international center, the more powerful because its direction will be unknown. Occult theocracy, Lady Queenborough, and none dare call it conspiracy, Gary Allen. Apparently this is the elite of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite. The ideology of this degree is given in the next chapter." In a letter of August 15, 1871, Pike showed the Illuminati leader Mazzini in an outline how to conquer the world with three world wars, the way to establish the New World Order. The First World War should be staged to bring Tsarist Russia under the control of the Bavarian Illuminati. Russia should then be used as a bogeyman to further the aims of the Bavarian Illuminati worldwide. The Second World War should be started by manipulating the differences between the German nationalists and the political Zionists. This was to result in an expansion of Russian influence and the establishment of a State of Israel in Palestine. The Third World War was planned to result from the differences stirred up by Illuminati agents between the Zionists and the Arabs. The conflict was planned to span the world. 76. It is also part of the Third World to set nihilists and atheists against one another to provoke a social reversal by hitherto unknown savagery and brutality. After the destruction of Christianity and atheism, one would show men the true Luciferian doctrine and thereby kill two birds with one stone. Remarks to Today's Situation. By the author, having Russia as the bogeyman, concept of the enemy, the Western nations should be forced into supranational alliances they would not have entered by themselves, NATO, UN. Also having the former Russian Empire as the enemy of the world tremendously helped international arms deals, which again profited the international bankers. This shows us that behind the Second World War there is yet a scenario completely different from what the history book tell us. Chapter 15: The Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Here we have to deal again with Albert Pike and the Scottish Rite of the Freemasons. Officially, the Masonic Order of the Scottish Rite started in 1801 in the US from a group of Tory followers. These, however, had cultivated anti-Christian and satanic practices before.